and some shocking news that we need to be aware of as Christians. Good afternoon, Dr. Barna. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
And well, first off, tell us who brought on this survey and how did they go about it?
Yeah, this was something that we did at the Cultural Research Center, which we have at Arizona Christian University. And it's the first annual National Worldview Study. We interviewed 2,000 people randomly selected from across the country and asked them 51 questions regarding their worldview, divided into 8 different categories of both belief and behavior, and put it together and a working worldview, because worldview is so critical. Everybody has one. Nobody thinks about it, but it really is the driving force behind all of the decisions that every person makes every day. So if we want to see America change, we've got to change worldview. That's really the foundation.
Well, how do you define a biblical worldview?
Well, it's not an easy thing to look at. You know, I spent about, 4 or 5 months working with our faculty, and in all of our classes, we teach every subject through a worldview lens. And so we tried to figure out what are the key components of a worldview, and particularly of a biblical worldview, and then develop questions around those particular items. But, I mean, the simplest answer to your question is a biblical worldview is understanding and experiencing and responding to the world based on all of the principles and truths and commands that God gives to us in the Bible. Those are meant for our well-being. They're meant for us to be able to prosper and thrive in life and to glorify Him in the process. So we try to capture the core elements of what all of those elements seem to be, and that's how we narrowed it down to 51. With our students, we're the only university in the country that tests all of its students every year, every academic year, on their worldview. And we have an expanded survey that we use with them as 96 worldview questions. So, I mean, really, there's no end to it. You know, the Bible has a lot of information. We tried to narrow it down to what we thought were the core elements.
All right. And let's get to the results. And everybody sit down, because this is rather shocking. Go ahead and share those results.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at the nation as a whole, all adults, people 18 or older, we found that 6% of adults in America have what would be considered a biblical worldview. Now, I started measuring worldview nationally back in the mid-1990s, and at that point, we had about 12% of the population who had a biblical worldview. So in the last 25 years, that number has been literally cut in half. We've been on a decline, and we can see that particularly when we look at worldview by generation. So if we look at the two older adult generations in America, the baby boomers and the elders, two groups that together would be 50 years of age or older, 9% of those people have a biblical worldview. If we look at the next younger generation, those who currently are in their mid-30s or so to their late 40s, the Gen X population, it's 5% who have a biblical worldview. And then when we look at our youngest adults, millennial generation, particularly those in the 18 to 29-year-old age range, we find that it drops to just 2%. So clearly we're not moving in the right direction. If we don't like the way this is turning out, we're going to have to do things differently, because if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to keep getting the same results.
Now, were you able to get any insight on why it has dropped so low?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of reasons, because a person's worldview starts forming at about 15 to maybe 18 months of age, when we start making sense of the world around us and trying to figure out, what do I want to do about it? Who do I want to be? How do I want to respond to the things happening around me? So it's really a combination of the inputs that we get from family, first and foremost, from church, from schools, from the media to which we're exposed, and even from government policies and laws, because they help to define morality for us. Morality tells us what's right and wrong, and that's what the law does. So you put all of those five factors together, you know, family, church, schools, media, and government, and that's really what has the greatest impact on what our worldview becomes. And as we look at what's happened over the last 50 years in America, what we can see, not only have parents in particular, but even just we've been allowing the schools, the media, and the government to take the lead in the shape of people's worldview. And so it's not surprising that the dominant worldviews in America today are postmodernism, Marxism, and secular humanism. And a biblical worldview has really taken a backseat to those.
Wow. Now, you even looked a little deeper in terms of denominations, at how many people hold a biblical worldview, and even those numbers are shocking.
Yeah, and, you know, when we look at the broad strokes of churches, if we were to look at evangelical churches in America, there are about 13% of America's churches. About 13% of America's adults attend those churches. 21% of people at evangelical churches have a biblical worldview. If we look at Pentecostal or charismatic churches, about 6% of Americans attend those churches. 16% of the people attending Pentecostal or charismatic churches have a biblical worldview. If we look at the 6 mainline Protestant churches, they represent 9% of the population, and of those people, 8% have a biblical worldview. And if we look at Catholic churches, that's the largest single denominational group in America. About 21% of Americans attend a Catholic church. 1% of that population has a biblical worldview. So you can see that depending on the church you go to, it does impact your worldview. And part of the reason for that, of course, is because those different types of churches have different views and different ways of handling the Bible. Some of it say that it's God's word, it's all true, it's relevant, there are consequences for not acting in concert with it. Other of those churches say, you know, it's a popular book, it's got some good ideas, pick and choose what you want. So, you know, there's a wide range of perspectives that get taught in our various churches across the country.
Wow, so we're heavily influenced by the culture, but then when we go to church, we're still not getting that in many churches. That is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad reality. When we look at what's being preached in our churches every few years, I do a content analysis study where we look at the content being taught to people in church settings. And over the last decade or so in particular, we've noticed that biblical content in particular has been on the decline, and there are particular subjects that really don't get much mention at all, much attention from the pulpit. And shockingly, one of those is the topic of sin. And so when you take that out of the equation and you take out things like the holiness of God, what that means and its implications for us personally, what we ought to be doing about God's holiness, and the fact that we were created in His image. He calls us to be holy. When people don't grasp these very basic things, the consequence is that we fill that mental, moral, emotional, and spiritual gap in our lives, which is our worldview, with an alternative. And that's why we've been attracted to the things that are being taught to us in television programs, in the movies, in popular music, in conversations in the lunchroom or in the neighborhood or at the grocery store with other people. We're always searching for answers. But when you don't have a baseline, a foundation that's solid, the latest and greatest idea that somebody throws your way can suddenly become the idea that you latch onto and bolt into your worldview.
So for those that are listening that maybe don't understand, do I have a biblical worldview? What are things that they should look at? And then second, what can we do as Christians to turn this around in our country?
Well, you know, there are a lot of ways of answering that, of course. Academic ways, there are practical ways. Let me give you a biblical way. You know, if you go back to what Jesus was looking for in a disciple, all of us have been called to be his disciples, but we get to make that choice. So you look at John 8:31, he says, you know, you want to be my disciple? Remain faithful to my teaching. Okay, that means you need to know his teaching. Secondly, John 13:35, he said, what proves that you're one of my disciples is that you love one another when you love other people. Okay, we've got to be living in a particular way. And then thirdly, in John 15:8, he said, when you produce much fruit, that's when you are my disciples. So, I mean, if we start looking at those three things and we begin to evaluate our own lives in terms of what are Jesus' keys and am I being faithful to them? Am I consistently and constantly demonstrating love for God and other people? You know, and he talked about that in Mark 12:30, where he said the greatest commandments were to love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love neighbors as yourself. You know, and then thirdly, what's the product of our lives? Jesus would say, you need to bear much fruit. You need to produce a lot of spiritual fruit in the lives of other people around you as well as your own life. So if we use those as measures, and as a leader in a church, if I use that as my guideline to what I'm teaching people and how we're building accountability, not being overbearing, but through relationships, through conversation, through observation, through purposeful teaching, intentional strategic teaching, helping people to know what it looks like to be faithful to Christ's teaching, to love other people, and to produce much fruit, then we're going to start to make some progress. And recognizing that the single most important group of people for us to be focusing on are young people, because your worldview develops between 15 months of age and 13 years of age. From 13 to your late 20s, you refine that worldview, you test it, you're getting ready to use it and solidify it for the rest of life. So what we do with children is the single most important thing in terms of worldview.
Amen. We agree with you on that for sure. We're talking with Dr. George Barna from the Cultural Research Center and their American Worldview Inventory. Dr. Barna, obviously another thing we can do is pray. Before we let you go, can you pray? Give us an example of how we should be praying in these times to help turn this world around and bring it to more of a biblical worldview.
Sure, thank you. I pray for all of us that are together here, gathered around this radio program, that you would use this to convict us that you've called us to be in concert with your will for our lives. And that means that we need to know what that is. And the only way we're going to know that is if we are in your word, studying the Bible consistently, trying to apply the Bible consistently. I pray that you give us the diligence in that. I pray that you give us the courage that it's going to take to live differently from the rest of the world, maybe to break some of our habits and routines. I pray that you are going to give us what we need to know what is relevant in any given moment as we're making decisions. Lord, you know that we make thousands of decisions every day, and there's not one of those that doesn't matter to you. We ask that you forgive us for making choices and decisions and behaving in ways that anger you, that disappoint you, that conflict with your ways and principles. Guide us and give us the determination to be the people that you put us on the planet to be. We're here to love you, to know you, to serve you, glorify you. Give us what it takes to be those kind of people, and help us through that kind of lifestyle to impact and influence the world around us, so that ultimately you and you alone are glorified. We thank you for loving us enough to be willing to do that. We want to be your disciples. Help us to do that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. George Barna from the Cultural Research Center. Dr. Barna, is there a way that people can access?
Yeah, if they go on to the website at culturalresearchcenter.com, they will see the first several reports that are going to be coming out of this study. We'll have additional reports coming out all throughout the year about other research, and they can subscribe to a newsletter that we're going to be offering every quarter. We'll bring you up to date happening in American culture, particularly as it relates to our faith.
All right. And they have that website again?
CulturalResearchCenter.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. George Barna, for taking some time with us and for the hard work that you're doing and helping us to open our eyes and inspire us to self-examine ourselves and do what we need to do to turn this world around for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.
Thank you.